With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Welcome, everyone, to episode 471 of the NBA podcast. The 2021-22 season has begun. We are 4 days into the season. We already have a lot to talk about. So instead of focusing on basketball, we're going to spend the next hour breaking down every single aspect of the Ben Simmons saga, naturally. No, actually, we're not going to talk about Ben Simmons today. We're going to talk about actual basketball. So we'll talk the early surprises and disappointments. We are only 2 games into the season for most teams, so it's too early to panic. But these are the teams that have caught our eye in the first 4 nights of the season. And then we'll wrap it up by talking about the NBA's 75 greatest all-time player list. Before we get into all of that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We are being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today is someone who I know is ready to talk a lot about the Los Angeles Lakers. Morton Jensen, how's it going?
It's going well, Brian, because basketball is back, and that has been a lot of fun. I've been enjoying myself. I mean, just watching basketball that matters instead of like the preseason runs, which have been interesting. But I can't help shed this feeling, Brian, that when you're 0-8 when it comes to both preseason and regular season, you're probably not trending in the right direction.
I was about to say basketball, it's fun for certain fans of certain teams, but right. I think Lakers fans might feel otherwise at the moment. So let's start with them, Mort, because I think they are one of the bigger stories, especially coming out of last night. We're recording this on Saturday. So they played the Phoenix Suns last night, lost their second straight game. AD and Dwight Howard got into a tussle at one point and had to be separated. So things just do not seem to be going super well for the Lakers so far. What have been your early impressions of them through these first 2 games?
So let me just clarify this by saying it's normal that teammates do get on each other's nerves, and sometimes there are these scuffles. It just doesn't happen 2 games into the freaking season, though. Like, what the hell are we doing? And then after, I think it was the first game, LeBron had that comment about Russell Westbrook, like, he needs to smile more. He needs to be more happy.
Like, he needs to, like, watch a funny movie or something.
Right, exactly. And that was a game. That was 1 game into the season. What is this? Like, the soap opera has already begun. We're 2 games into the season. I am being less and less optimistic about this team every single day.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of us were down on them relative to consensus or down on them relative to preseason odds. You know, we said, I forget what we had that is the exact seeding for them in our season predictions, but neither of us had them in the top two in the West. I think I had them five. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I had them 3, and I don't feel good about that right now. I mean, they are dealing with a bunch of injuries, so that is worth noting. You know, Ariza's out, Talen Horton Tucker's out, Avery Bradley, whom they just got in. You know, he played for them a couple of years ago. They just brought him back. Like, he played the second most minutes off the bench last night. So
and Kendrick Nunn too.
Yeah, right. So I mean, they don't have a full strength squad, so it is worth hedging there. But you know, the Russ. All of the concerns you would have about Russell Westbrook's fit with LeBron James and Anthony Davis 2 games into the season have come true so far. And then, you know, for all of the AD is going to play center, we are still starting DeAndre Jordan. Now, you know, he only played 10 minutes. Dwight Howard only played 9 minutes last night. So AD is playing a lot of center, but it almost feels similar to what the Knicks did last year with ceremonial starter Alfred Payton, where you're just wasting X number of minutes. So I don't know, man. I'm not feeling great about the Lakers so far. I mean, there's still, obviously, there's 80 games left in the season. There's a lot of time for them to work these kinks out. Like, I'm not saying the Lakers are going to miss the playoffs or anything.
Great.
But I've seen nothing in these first two games. You know, going into the season, they were the favorites in the West. They had better title odds than the Milwaukee Bucks. I have seen nothing in these first two games to make me think that is the case.
Yeah. No, I agree. I should clarify again by saying, I think there's a lot of season left there, or there is a lot of season left. I think they'll get better. This is by no means, you know, let's write them off at this early stage. But there are just some concerning issues here that we need to take into account. And for the record, Russell Westbrook is not something who, like, flips a switch and then he's suddenly a team player going from one day to the other. Like, this is going to be a very long period of adjustment. And we saw, especially in the first game, where he just could not figure out, like, what the right shot selection was around the guys that he's playing with. Like, there is a very specific lack of understanding of who he's playing alongside. It seems like he's still trying to be the guy, which I understand on some level because you've been used to it for so many years that you come in with that swagger, that mentality. But you have to understand, okay, my skill set doesn't really match LeBron's all that well. So maybe I take a back seat. Maybe I wait for him to be on the bench and then I assert myself. Like, maybe we do certain things, certain actions wherein I can be a lob threat or something of that magnitude. Right now, it's very perimeter heavy and he's not a perimeter player. So I really think they need to go back to watching what Houston did. Like, in that, what was that? That 15, 20 game sample or however much it was, when Russ was essentially playing like a power forward position in Houston, that I think that could kind of work in LA if they were inclined to go that route.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed I'm like trying to conjure up catch and shoot opportunities for Russell Westbrook. And that's just not what you want to do. Like, I know he can hit that shot on occasion, but teams are going to give him those shots. Like, if you have to pick your poison with the team with AD, LeBron, and Russell Westbrook, you're going to pack the ever-living hell out of the paint, and you'll double-team LeBron, you'll double-team AD, and if it leaves Westbrook open on the perimeter, so be it.
Yeah, he's 0-7 on this season so far. He's played 70 minutes since he had to hit a three. And, by the way, he's hitting 37.5% from the free-throw line, which is additionally concerning. Well, again, those numbers will bounce back. But it's not a good start, and it's something that defenses will utilize.
Right, and I mean, his free throw percentage has kind of been on the decline. Like, he was an 80-plus percent free throw shooter for most of his career, and over the last couple of years, that's really started to dip. I mean, we're at, over the last 4 years, he's averaging 70.4% from the line, and before that, he had shot at least 80% in
all of one season, which was his sophomore year.
Right, yeah. He averaged 82.3% over those first 9 seasons. So, you know, all of it is just baked into, like, Westbrook is not a good shooter. And that's, you know, that is the concern. With, you put LeBron and AD with shooters is a formula that works. I can understand why they wanted Westbrook to alleviate some of the ball handling responsibility from LeBron in particular, but there were definitely still a lot of kinks for the Lakers to work out.
Yeah, very much so.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The other team that really caught my eye in terms of disappointment so far, and again, this one is completely understandable because they're without their best player, but the New Orleans Pelicans starting the season off with two back-to-back blowout losses is not a great sign given some of the stuff that's been circulating throughout the offseason about Zion and his unhappiness in New Orleans. And then Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report puts out a story this week, you know, saying like other teams are already hovering over this. They are like ready to pounce if this situation does deteriorate, whether it's he takes the qualifying offer instead of signing an extension, or he signs an extension and pulls a Ben Simmons and tries to demand a trade a year later. So other teams are very much watching New Orleans. And again, like Zion is still recovering from this foot surgery, so they haven't played with him for these first two nights, and losing to Philly and Chicago, two teams who should be in the playoff mix in the East. It's not like they lost to Orlando and OKC, but Mort, I mean, our two teams are the ones who played the Pelicans. So I think, you know, we've probably watched the Pelicans more than most this season. What were your impressions of them in that game?
You know what? I'm not even going to take offense to the fact that you said our teams. I'm back in.
Okay, good. I was going to say, don't give me that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to take offense. I'm back in. That Bulls team is fun. What I saw from the Pelicans, obviously, was that they lack someone to really take over. I think Brandon Ingram has actually done a pretty commendable job of trying to be that guy. He's been, you know, an all-around player. He's been a guy who's been taking a lot of shots and like initiating the offense. Last night, Devontae Graham had a good game. But there's just something missing there, like some option you can just go to reliably, and that's of course Zion. He's left this vacuum of opportunities around, which is kind of weird. But when you think about this roster, you're seeing a lot of talent. Like Kyra Lewis Jr. should get more opportunities. Jackson Hayes is going into his third year. Nikhil Alexander Walker is there. So I'm kind of wondering what the hell it is they're waiting for. And okay, so Nikhil's 19 points per game is fair. Like, it's not like I don't note that, but
I was about to say the one bright side is that he looks like a stud so far.
He does, but I almost think that they should go to him more. Even last night, I was like, why aren't they trying to actually give him more possessions? I don't understand why. Like, he's clearly capable of doing that. Him and Brandon, I think, could run a very nice two-man game until the return of Zion, whenever that's going to be. So I kind of want them to lean into the perimeter a little bit more, and also like kick in some minutes to Kyra Lewis Jr. while the shots are there, the opportunities are there. Because when Zion comes back, a lot of these guys are going to have to take a step back. So I think this could be an opportunity for the Pels to say, all right, right now with the next month? What's Zion's timetable? Do we even know?
No, right? He was supposed to get a rescan, I believe, like within the next week or two. But there's still no clarity as to when he's coming back.
All right. So if we say December 1st, for example, that'll give you the entire month of November. Like, just give all those young guys a chance to get up shots. Get them the ball in their hands. Make decisions. I think that they would be better off in the long run just to have those reps. And I was kind of wondering just last night going through that game, it's like, why is Kyra Lewis not getting 25 minutes right now, just sharing the backcourt with Devontae and moving guys around? Like, I just don't know what they're trying to do right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, Valanciunas had a rough game against Embiid in the opener. It looks like he bounced back, you know, to the standard we would expect from him.
And he was better against the Bulls. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, you're right. Like, when you're any team missing their number one option, like, I don't want to pile on too much, but it does feel like, you know, they just don't have the depth that they need. Like, they have a bunch of guys who they're, you know, Jackson Hayes is a lottery pick. Kyra Lewis Jr. was mid first round, I believe, or was he? Yeah, he was mid first round.
Kyra?
Yeah, or was he lottery?
Was he 13 or something? I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
13th pick. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. So like, you know, you have these guys, and as you said, they're now, you know, you can use the youth excuse for so long. It is good to see Nikhil kind of emerging into this, you know, dependable starter, because I think that was some of the tension last year between Stan Van Gundy and David Griffin was,
right,
you know, Stan Van Gundy's playing Eric Bledsoe, and we all saw how productive Eric Bledsoe was last year. And, you know, David Griffin is saying, no, like we want to turn it over to the young guy. Like, we want to see Nikhil get more reps. So, yep, you know, it's good that he is getting those this year. And I would argue he's probably the best guard on their roster right now.
Oh, undoubtedly. And that's why I'm saying he should get more than 12 shots per game. I mean, I want to see him come up in that 17, 18 shot range while Zion is out. I think that, yeah, would just make his development accelerate to a manner that they need.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he can really reliably create off the dribble.
Which, yes, is, and move without the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, like, he clanked. Wait a second. You didn't see the game last night. But
no,
he's doing that Paul George thing now where he's coming off screens. Mm-hmm. And then he's catching the ball and shooting in one motion. It's not like where he stops and plants his feet. Like, he's ripping that move off of Paul George, and I love it. Like, he didn't hit it last night, but mm-hmm. the fluidity of that move was so nice. I think that's going to be one of his go-to moves as like his career progresses, just being able to shoot off of screens. I am very, very curious to see where he is in like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the silver linings for the Pelicans. Like, you know, they would all go down one rung in the offensive hierarchy once Zion returns, and I think everyone would fit better in that regard. Like, obviously, if you sub out Zion Williamson for Herb Jones, like, that is going to be a massive downgrade.
Herb Jones plays defense, though, more than Zion does.
I mean, Josh Hart started the opener, and he got hurt and missed last night's game as well, so that is a notable piece that they were missing beyond Zion last night. So, like, I think there are signs of optimism here for the Pelicans, specifically Alexander Walker. I just hope for their sake that they don't fall too far out of the mix before Zion returns. I mean, they have a game against, actually a back-to-back against Minnesota tonight and Monday, which I think will be pretty telling. Like, if they can't at least split that, after that, it's like Atlanta, Sacramento, New York, Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, Dallas, OKC, Brooklyn, Memphis, Washington, Miami, Clippers. There aren't a lot of surefire wins other than OKC there. So, you know, they need to start stealing a couple wins against teams. You know, like, I don't think they're beating Golden State or Brooklyn without Zion, but they need, you know, one of the Minnesota games, Sacramento, or one of the Sacramento games, can you at least split, or else otherwise, you know, you could be looking at like a 2-10, 2-15 start.
Can we talk about Zion? Can we? I wrote about him over at Forbes.
Yeah.
I think both sides here like have some level of blame in why that relationship seems to be deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
But if Zion is arguing that they're not a good enough team, right? Like, their record isn't good enough. It's entirely fair for the Pelicans to go back to him and say, well, you know what? We can't be a consistently good team if our best player is in and out of the lineup with weird injuries and a considerable weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be a two-way street here. Like, if you want to win, that's why we have you. You are a best player. You are a major conduit to winning. So if you're complaining about, you know, us potentially having a poor record while you miss a significant chunk of that season, that's on you as well. That is not just on us.
Yeah.
I think this dynamic is so weird. And the more that I go into it, the more I just think it would behoove, and I wrote that at Forbes as well, it would just behoove the Pelicans to have a plan at hand. I'm not saying they should trade him right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying it wouldn't hurt to just understand what is out there in terms of offers and have something ready.
Yeah.
If push comes to shove.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it feels like the writing is already on the wall here, where this is just going to be a contentious relationship until he gets traded or until he signs a qualifying offer, which is unfair to the Pelicans to be in this spot 2 years into his career.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just if you compare and contrast Zion to John Morant, where John Morant says, like, the city embraced me right away. I love it here. My future is here. I'm like all in on this team. Yeah. And then Zion, who was drafted one pick before, they're, you know, the Pelicans embrace him right away. The city embraced him right away. Like, they want him there. He just does not appear to want to be there. And as you mentioned, you know, Jake reported over the offseason, he ballooned up to over 300 pounds. You know, that was, it was always, this was always the biggest concern with Zion. Like, he is just such a uniquely proportioned player. He was, you know, 6'7", but he's carrying the weight of someone who's a 7-footer, 7'2". Like, he and Joel Embiid, I think, are listed at the same weight. And Joel Embiid has a lot of health concerns as well.
Yeah.
So how would Zion's body hold up? So far, you know, the results have not been great. And I don't blame the Pelicans for trying to be cautious here. And if Zion is frustrated by their handling of him, as you said, like, there's a way to, it has to be a two-way street here. They can't manage what, you know, they can hire him a dietitian or whatever, but they can only do so much. It's up to him. And if he's carrying around 300 pounds on that frame and he keeps getting these lower body injuries, what, like, this, it seems like there's a pretty clear connection here.
Right.
So I'm with you. I mean, I'm also not saying they need to trade Zion tomorrow, but they at least, I think you phrased it well. They should have a plan in place. They should know what they could get for him. So if they do need to pull the ripcord at some point,
yeah,
it won't turn into a long-term messy divorce. They just say, you know what? We're being realistic. This is not working out. You don't want to be here. You don't like it here. You don't trust our staff, whatever the case may be. Let's just go our separate ways, and we're going to get a ton back for you.
I will say this, though. Zion indirectly works as a fantastic marketing tool for the city of New Orleans, because ballooning up to 300 pounds, like, I want to go there and get some po' boys or something.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I don't blame him, man. Like, I spent a weekend in New Orleans and I gained 5 pounds. It's hard to keep off weight there.
I've never been. You and I had to go to New Orleans at one point and record an episode sitting in a restaurant and just eating crawfish and po' boys and whatever. Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. Beignets. Yeah.
Oh man. I am down. I am down for a New Orleans podcast where at the end of it, you and I will be 300 pounds.
Right. Exactly.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Let's move on to another disappointment. This feels especially premature because it's been only one game. But we have to talk about the
Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
The Hawks jumped out to a double-digit lead early on them on Thursday. And the game just felt over by the second quarter.
Yeah.
And I can't tell whether that's more the quality of the Hawks, who we'll talk about later, or a knock against the Mavericks, or both. Like, maybe it's, you know, part of A, part of B. But it's similar to Russ and the Lakers. Like, all of the concerns that you had about the Jason Kidd-led Dallas Mavericks manifested in that first game. I think it was Sam Vecenie of The Athletic who tweeted, like, Dorian Finney-Smith had already posted up more times in that game than he did all season last year.
You know, here's the thing. I actually don't mind an offense that is very... When I say post-centric, I don't necessarily mean someone who, like, backs people down. I mean scoring in the post, generally speaking. Like, I don't mind that. It works for Sion. Like, there are teams and players out there that find great success in scoring from the post. But, Brian, it's contingent on having players who can do it.
Right. Know your personnel.
Right. And Jason Kidd is like, I don't care if you can play in the post. Go post up. Which is like, what? What are you trying to achieve here? Like what? Dorian Finney-Smith, post-up guy? No. Kristaps Porzingis, hey, you're 7'3", so by default you're a post-up guy? No. Like, I don't... I will say this about that game, by the way. DeAndre Hunter, man, and we'll get to the Hawks, but he did play a big part in just disrupting everything that Dallas did. Like, that guy... I am glad that you and I... We bought some property on DeAndre Hunter Island because I think that's going to be worth a lot when we try to sell it later down the road. But man, they looked completely discombobulated. It looked like there was no fight, no intensity. And this is where the emotional side of my fandom comes in, because it didn't feel like they really believed it. Like, it felt like very quickly their initial belief that, oh, we're going to win this game, dropped. And that is enormously concerning to me, because you know how Luka Doncic is usually not a guy who ever loses that mindset. Yeah. Like, he is a guy who doesn't really play the scoreboard in that sense. And even he was like, oh, it seems like there's just no inner belief in them being the superior team. And if they have to carry that, they're going to come in with a disadvantage for every single game.
Yeah, it just seems like they haven't bought into Jason Kidd's offensive system yet.
I kind of get that, yeah.
Right, I mean, I do too, but like this was one of the most entertaining offenses over the last few years, and for them to score 87 points in their season opener, with Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis is healthy for it right now. It's just unfathomable what he's done to that team already. And it wasn't even fun.
It wasn't even a fun 87.
No, it was like, I mean, there is one part in the third quarter where Luka just kind of took over for a while, and that was the most competent they looked on offense all game. And then they just started sputtering again. It's like they just had... I mean, also, if you're going to pay Reggie Bullock $10 million, like it was a three-year, $30 million deal, why is he playing only 15 minutes in this game?
God, was it only 15? I haven't looked at the box score.
Yeah, when you're down, you know, double digits the entire game, maybe try to play more three-point shooters. I will say, I mean, like, on, you know, as concerned as we were about his comments, Kidd's comments in the preseason about, like, yeah, I don't want to jack up a ton of threes. They shot 43 threes. So
yeah.
In that one night sample size, they actually out attempted the Hawks from three. They only hit 13 of them, which is not great. I mean, they shot 33.3% from the field. Like, hopefully it's just an off night as a team and they'll bounce back and these concerns are somewhat overblown. But, you know, we can only react to what we've seen so far. And I did not enjoy watching the Dallas Mavericks, unfortunately.
I didn't even pick up on the fact that Bullock only played 15 minutes while watching. Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. By the way, we also need to have a conversation at some point about Maxi Kleber, because I brought this up last year and I think you argued that did he have COVID or something about there's a reason he was sticking to the perimeter, because I was wondering why they didn't put him into more short roll action instead of just being this stretch guy. Because while he can hit the three, he's so much better in the short roll and as a guy who like dive to the basket and make kickouts. But like, all he's doing now is jack threes. Mm-hmm. All he's doing, that's his entire offense right now. Like, why? That doesn't make sense to me.
I wish I knew.
He is such an underutilized player, I think.
The only other team that really caught my eye in a disappointing way, the Boston Celtics.
So, yeah, I will say the first game, when it's a double overtime game, that can go to every side. You know, I rarely fault teams for losing in overtime games because it's just like it's a roll of the dice. But game number two, man, yeah. their home debut for the season where they just let a rookie Scotty Barnes completely annihilate them. That was rough.
Yeah, to a Raptors team that got blown out by the Wizards in game one.
Yeah.
Losing by 32 points. I didn't see this game yet. So we were just talking to Keith Smith and he just said they came out flat, and maybe it's as simple as that. But man, I mean,
I saw a chunk of it and they were not in sync. I mean, Jaylen Brown has been great. Jason Tatum hasn't been able to hit anything, so that plays into it. But they had some Dallas vibes there. I mean, where they kind of at some point just said, oh, okay, you know what? Screw it. Like, this is going to be an L. Let's just go through the motions at the end, and then let's focus on the next one.
Has the lack of playmaking come back to bite them in this game? Or, I mean, they had 19 assists on 32 field goals, so.
Not from what I saw. That's probably a better question for Keith, if I'm being honest. I think this was just, you know how you have those games once in a while where nothing kind of works? I think that was it. But it's just additionally concerning when it's like your home opener of the season.
Like, right.
Like, you kind of want to be motivated for that one.
Right. Like, how do you come out flat in that game?
Yeah. That's so...
I mean, you're right. Like Brown in the Knicks game, like 46 points was phenomenal. Ridiculous. You know, like you could point to, I know they lost because Jason Tatum shot 7 of 30. You know, like that was, and that's going to be an outlier. Jason Tatum is going to be better than that on most nights. Them starting Grant Williams as well in that season opener because Horford was out. Like I don't understand why they're going with the two big thing. Right now, like, why are we starting Al Horford and Robert Williams together?
Yeah, like, do you want a Grant starting full time?
No. I thought they were going to do like Richardson or Schroeder.
Oh, okay. Well, because I actually don't mind Williams. I don't think he's a big.
You think he's more of a forward?
Yeah, like he's not. He's someone who can attack off the dribble. He lost weight. He can shoot a little bit. He's also a decent playmaker. I think he's well-rounded enough to actually come in and play that new age power forward role where he can really play make off that position and stretch the court. Like I actually think he would be a very suitable solution at that spot. Definitely better than Horford and Robert Williams together.
Yeah. I mean, I figured they would just basically split the minutes at center.
Yeah.
But I guess, I mean, again, it's like all of this might wind up being overreaction. Like they might realize 5 games into the season, we should go smaller. That's how we've been more effective in the past.
Right.
But, you know, it's a new coach, a new system. They're just trying to figure out which combinations work. So far, I don't know. So far, the results would say the Horford Williams thing is not especially great. But again, they're going against a Raptors team that doesn't have. You know, it didn't really start a true center. Like it was the front.
I don't think the Raptors started any traditional position.
Right. Precious Achiuwa was the quote unquote center and he played really well, but then, you know, it's OG Anunoby and Scotty Barnes otherwise in the front court. So it a very unconventional team going against, you know, a conventional two big lineup is probably not great.
Scotty Barnes is making me look like an absolute moron, by the way. Because I said I wanted Jalen Suggs at four. I didn't think that Barnes should be a part of that top four. I thought he was just that level under. He's not, Brian. He's not. Over the first two games of the season, he's averaging 18.5 points and 11 rebounds, and he is doing so with it on a very confident scale. Like, he is just not afraid of anything, which is the mental makeup you need to succeed in this league. So I am eating crow so far, big time.
Yeah, he's just one of those, like, super high energy guys. Like, you're not going to come out flat. Like, that is one thing. I mean, you know, the Raptors got pounded in their first game against the Wizards, but, like, they're not going to come out flat more nights than not. Although I will say my OG Anunoby most improved player stock is already taking on water, and I am not thrilled about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I was never – I know that he was a popular pick for a lot of guys. I really do wonder if he has the on-ball skills to create a new ceiling for himself. Like, I think he's had a rough start to the season, obviously. Like, he's going to bounce back. He's going to be fine. But I do wonder if he's ever going to be that guy who can dribble his way to 15 points a game and then add in the off-ball shooting and then add in free throws. Like, I wonder if he's ever going to be that guy. So that pick to me could definitely look... I don't want to say stupid, but that could definitely look wrong in a couple of months. But just to round out Barnes, by the way, like, for me, I just didn't think he had this offensive game. Like, he clearly improved a ton coming from college into the pros. Like, understanding, you know what? I can't be a one-way player. That's just not in the cards. I'm not going to find success that way. He's been super aggressive, taking 15 shots a game. Like... And the Raptors are allowing him just to test it out, which I love. It seems like this team is ready to let their youngsters play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they might as well be. I mean, you know, Messiah said we're, I don't know if he said retooling or rebuilding, but, you know, losing Kyle Lowry, like, you're very much going in a certain direction. And they started Goran Dragic in game one. They put Gary Trent Jr. into the starting lineup in game two. That worked out very well for them. Yeah. So, you know, as much as I was down on the Raptors after that loss to the Wizards, it's like, oh, okay, this is the Raptors team I expected to see. Celtics, that, you know, so far it looks like we all might have been a little bit high on them.
Yeah.
You know, thinking they were, like, in that upper tier of after Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and after Miami, Atlanta. It was like, okay, like, Boston, I could see maybe getting a top 16. Still early. Maybe they do, but, you know, I wouldn't put them as the favorite for that six seed right now. That's for sure.
I had them eighth, and I believe you and I agreed that some team in that top 10, like who that would be in the play-in tournament as well, one of those teams could free throw completely and just lose out. Will that be Boston? I don't know. It's super early. We can still see a couple of changes going. Like, I also think that Washington is bound to come down back to earth at some point. But yeah, no, it's definitely not the way you want to start the season.
No. Do you want to shout out your one other big disappointment so far? Or maybe it's a surprise. I don't know. King James's old home.
Yes, I do. Because, I mean, I was told by the Cavaliers that it's smart to start Lauri Markkanen at the three. It's been two games so far. They've lost both of them. And Lauri Markkanen is shooting 36% from the field. And, Brian, I'm not shocked. Let's just put it that way. This has not come as a surprise to me. Nor has it come to a surprise to literally a million Bulls fans.
Right. Yeah, I can't believe a three big lineup is not working in 2021.
Right. It's amazing. I just don't know. Okay. I just don't know what they're trying to do here. Okay. So I quote tweeted, like, the report saying that he was going to start at the three. And I was like, he's not going to do anything for you that's going to make this worthwhile. Like, he's not going to rebound. He's not going to play make. He's not going to defend. And Cavs fans were. Some were in full agreement, by the way, so that's nice to see. And some were like, no, he provides shooting, and that's what this team needs. Like, that's not how things work. Like, you can get that elsewhere, first and foremost. It's about movability. It's about positional structure. It's about doing a lot of things to optimizing everyone else. If you're playing Lauri Markkanen at the three, you're doing so only to appease his hunger for minutes, and that's it. Like, you're not going to become a better team of it. Like, sure, he can stretch the court, but he doesn't do anything else. But, Brian, it turns out, and this is very interesting, turns out a lot of Cavs fans are completely out on Isaac Okoro.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
From I have no, like, it was one of the things was offense, lack of offensive execution. A lot of them were saying that, oh, he can't play the three. And I'm like, even if that was true last year, which fine, I'll definitely concede to their knowledge, having watched him more than I have. Mm-hmm. He's still just a second year player. You got to give him the reps.
Right.
Like, I'm thinking already that if they're out on him, the Sacramento Kings should be right there going for him because they need a three.
Yeah, and they could offer Marvin Bagley in case Cleveland wants to do a four-big lineup instead of
Bingo! Three. Right. Bagley at the two, Markkanen at the one. There we go.
Yeah.
Fire it up, yeah. Cleveland.
I know. I saw the report that they're weighing whether Okoro or Sexton makes sense next to Garland long-term, and it's like, why not both?
Yes.
Why is this a binary choice? Why can't we just... this Cleveland team is going to be very frustrating, I think.
Yeah, and I want Colin Sexton out of there for his sake because that fan base is so out of him.
Yeah.
And they have been since day one. He's never been given a fair shake. And I'm also a little bit frustrated by the people who are mentioning him as a six man. Like, he's too good for that role. I just want him to get a new home or he can cement himself as one of the best scorers in the league because he's not going to get that opportunity in Cleveland. Move on, Colin. Save yourself from that horrible organization.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
All right, let's go to the surprises now, Mort. We brought up the Hawks earlier. You and I both thought they were going to be good this year. Like, we both had them as a top four, top five seed. Again, it's one game, and it's against a Jason Kidd team. But they
we can say that again now, yes.
Yeah, but they confirmed all of my prior assumptions. They just have so much depth that they can hit you with wave after wave after wave. And whereas, you know, most teams, it's like there's a considerable drop off in talent when you go from the starters to the bench. So it's like, okay, your bench and their bench can get into kind of a rock fight. You just have to break even. The Hawks bench is also really good.
Yes.
So there is just no reprieve. When your bench comes in and their bench comes in, their bench is going to annihilate your bench.
Yep. Cam Reddish, man.
That's not, like, I know people were just like, well, let's see about the Hawks. Maybe that was a flukish run. They didn't have Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter for most of it.
And I was one of those people who said that. Just say my name, Brian. It's fine. I'll admit it. In terms of playoff success, I always thought it'd be a good regular season game. But the team. But you're right. I mean, they just have so many players that just keeps coming. You're right. That's entirely fair.
Like, Trae Young had a somewhat bad shooting game. 6 of 16 from the field, only 2 of 5 from three, 19 points, and they still won by 26.
Yeah. And that's really the thing, right, for him and the keys to success there, which is making your superstar do less while you still win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just cannot say enough good things about how the Hawks have built around Trae Young, and I think they are going to be duly rewarded for that this year.
I still think, though, that this is going to be the year where the Hawks internally are going to look at John Collins and DeAndre Hunter. And trying to figure out, can Hunter play the three long term, Or do we optimize him more as a four? And would he defensively be such a better player than Collins that we can justify making that move? Not saying that they're going to move away from Collins necessarily, but I think it's something that they're monitoring.
Right.
Because and after this year, Hunter is going to be extension eligible.
Yeah, as is Reddish. So, correct. Yeah, like they are still primed for a consolidation trade, but yes. You know, we'll see where all these teams are in 2 months. Like once all the guys who signed as free agents this year become eligible to be traded, like then you can also include Collins, who now has a big salary to match. And like you still have, you know, Gallinari, I think, is the obvious salary matching chip as well. So like,
yeah,
that's the scary thing about this Hawks team is they have so much depth. But even if they consolidate it for a star, they're still going to be pretty deep, most likely. And they're going to get that upgrade next to Trey as well. So,
and apparently they're still going to find minutes for Solomon Hill.
Well, when you're blowing a team up by double digits, why not?
Solomon Hill and Reggie Bullock played the same amount of minutes.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Way to go, Mavericks. All right. Do you want to talk about the Bulls?
I do. Yes.
Because I trolled you a little bit on the opening night when they barely squeaked past a Cade Cunningham-less Pistons team.
Yes.
And they redeemed themselves against a Zion Williamson-less Pelicans team.
And tonight they'll go up against another non-Cade Cunningham team.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, at some point, they'll play a real basketball team.
Yeah.
You know, you can only play who's on your schedule, who's in front of you. So what's caught your eye about the Bulls so far?
So as I just talked about with Trae Young, like having your superstar do less while you still win, that is Zach LaVine right now. Like he doesn't have to create as much off the ball. Like he has competent playmakers around him. And because of that, he has turned into just a beast. Like he is now being able to pick his spots more carefully. Like he is feeding off of the energy of other good plays, which he really couldn't do last year because the team around him sucked and has been for years. Now that he's got competent players who can create their own shots, create attention, and have him fly under the radar a little bit, he's an assassin. Like he's averaging 33 points per game, shooting 61% from the field overall, 50 from downtown, 94 from the free throw line. I mean, this is ridiculous. Obviously, those numbers won't be sustainable. Totally get it. But it's coming within the flow of the offense. Like this is not him having to go absolutely ham to get his numbers. Like, okay, fair enough. Against Detroit, they were struggling a little bit. And there was one point where he said, okay, I'm going to take my cape on and then I'm just going to do my stuff. And that's going to help us win, which he did. But that wasn't necessary last night. At one point, he hadn't scored in, I think he actually opened the game up, having not scored in the first 18 minutes. And then he scored 20 points in the next six, because that was just what the defense gave him. Mm-hmm. So what I'm seeing is a Zach LaVine who is optimized. And I think that's a really good word to like apply to him, optimized. And Brian, that is freaking scary. I mean, he is, if he keeps this up, we could talk about him as an MVP candidate.
I said he could be, was it with you or was it might've been with Dan Favalli. I think it was, I was talking with him because we were talking, like the BR staff had to make their awards picks. And I said, why couldn't Trae Young or Zach LaVine get into that conversation?
Yeah.
Like it requires the Bulls, both of those teams need to finish as a top three seed. That to happen, and I don't know that the Bulls will get to that height necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So I think that's what would short circuit it. But like Zach LaVine, almost no question will be an All-Star this year. I think all NBA is that's where I could see him realistically having a ceiling this year.
Right, right. And when I say MVP candidate, it's very important that I'm underlining candidate and not favorite, because that's not what I'm saying. But no, it's more than that. Like Lonzo Ball has looked amazing. Like the contrast, you also have to understand the Bulls fans are used to watching a product that consists of players who are either out of the league or getting no minutes elsewhere in the league. Mm-hmm. Like that was the talent level was just so poor. Now you have competent starters, competent bench unit, competent rotation all over. And yet the smart people in the business are like, no, they're probably going to finish roughly the same area.
Right.
Like, what? It still doesn't make sense to me. Like Lonzo's triple-double last night was extremely effortless. And it comes, again, within the flow. DeMar DeRozan being able to just take over when he needs to. And Nikola Vucevic has actually played really poorly the first two games. And yet, they're still 0-2. Mm-hmm. The Bulls would have lost every single game last year that either Zach or Vooch didn't play up to par. Like, yeah. These two games that they played this year, they would have lost them last year.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they came very close to losing that Pistons game.
They did, yeah.
So, yeah, they were definitely would have been 1-1 at best.
Also, Alex Caruso, I'm standing by my sixth man of the year pick. He is – no, I get it. He doesn't have the points. Yeah, but you know what? Defensively, he's been a freaking monster. Also, I know you play fantasy basketball. Do they reward defensive players?
If you for steals and blocks, yeah.
All right, then buy Javonte Green.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Three deep leaguers out there.
He is he's amazing. I mean, I didn't even think he'd crack the rotation. I wasn't sure that he would even be on the team. He's been Chicago's second best defender.
Wow. Okay.
Behind Caruso, maybe even their best. Like he's just so disruptive. I mean, look, that team so far is actually playing competent defense. The defense won them the Pistons game.
Yeah. Well, again,
I get it. But they look better on that end than people predicted, is my point.
Sure. Let's go to the Warriors, Mort.
Yes.
Because, look, we both put them as a top four seed in the West. We were very high on the Warriors, even without Klay. Just figured, you know, Curry being, if he could carry over what he did last year, Jordan Poole's presumed breakout in the absence of Klay, you know, Wiseman not playing for now, so they didn't have to mess around with what killed them last year. I think both of us were saying throughout the offseason, the additions of Bielitsa and Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
were going to go overlooked compared to what the Nets did and the Lakers did in particular. But both of those guys were going to play very important roles for this Warriors team. And I just feel very good about that take, having watched these first two games.
Well, why wouldn't you? It's right.
Yeah, I mean, like, this Warriors team is just deeper than, I mean, 2 years ago, obviously, when Steph went out too. But even last year, like, that's what, you know, their starting lineup was okay. It's just when you went to the bench, it was just a lot of unproven guys or a lot of young guys. Now, you know, you're coming off the bench with Bielitsa, Iguodala, Otto Porter Jr. Like, those guys are proven NBA players. Like, yeah. they're still not one of the deepest teams in the NBA. They, you know, if you go to, like, their ninth and tenth man, I'm taking the Atlanta Hawks over them. But at least you can cobble together a competent rotation now. And also, Stephen Curry is just still Stephen Curry. What he did to the Clippers the other night was outrageous. So, like, I'm not surprised that the Warriors are good because we thought they would be. But I think I'm slightly surprised that they look this good.
I have a very fun stat for you, by the way.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Gary Payton II has played two games. He's averaging 0 minutes per game. That's because he's played a grand total of 10 seconds.
Wow. Good for you, Gary.
Right? In the first game, he played 7 seconds, and in the second, he played 3.
That seems impossible. How do you only play for 3 seconds?
This is what we have. And I don't know if it's any sort of record, but I like it. I think that's awesome. No, but that's for amazing. Real. I mean, here's the thing. I actually didn't. If you told me before the season that Jordan Poole over the first two games would be shooting 37.5% from the field, I would have told you, At best, the Warriors probably would be 1-1 because you don't expect a lot of offensive production, or well, scoring production out of Draymond Green. Rightly so, neither Iggy and all those things. Steph, man, like the flamethrower that he is, has just kind of decided, you know what? I don't care if I'm 33 or whatever. I'm going to average my age in points. That's just what I'm going to do moving forward. That's going to be my new mission in life. For every year I get older, I'm just going to average that. That's fine. And it seems to be working. God, that guy is good, man.
It's outrageous.
Like, if this team does finish in the top three, like I mentioned Zach LaVine as an MVP candidate, but not a favorite.
Yeah.
Like, Stephen Curry, we can underline favorite there.
Yeah, I want to actually look and see what his odds were at fan. I know going into the year, I think he was tied with Embiid.
Yeah.
Third. Oh, okay.
My Embiid MVP pick is not looking so good right now.
You mean when he's limping around the second game of the season and says afterward he shouldn't have even played? Yeah. Not great. Stephen Curry is now tied, by the way, with Giannis at FanDuel Sportsbook for the best MVP odds at plus 600.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. I mean,
it's those two, then KD at plus 650, Luka at plus 700. Please, if you're considering betting on Luka Doncic as your MVP this year, just Venmo us the money instead. I promise you we'll make better use of it. I just don't understand.
Nope. But I mean, look, I think the ceiling here for these Warriors are so much higher than what people seem to realize, because Jordan Poole is going to get back on track. Yeah. Certain guys are going to come back into the rotation. Like Otto Porter has not even established himself all that much offensively. Yeah. That's going to change. This team could be really good. And then James Wiseman comes back at some point soon. Like, okay, he's still sort of a mystery box, but it's still year two. Like there are going to be some learnings and some improvements being put on him. And he's just another wide body who can block shots as well. So I like this, Brian. I really, really like what they're building. And if they pull a major move at the trade deadline, I like it even more.
Yeah, I was going to say, why can't they make the finals out of the West? But actually, oddsmakers are pretty high on that happening. They are plus 550, tied with the Clippers for the third best odds, ahead of the Suns, which surprises me.
Well, you know, I think the Suns are a strange situation, because we've seen before how a team makes the finals and then never really returns. I think a lot of people are looking at the Suns like, you know what, that might have been the best that you could have done at that point in time. Like, you could make the Western Conference Finals or whatever, but making the finals run again, maybe not that realistic. Like, I'm not saying I agree with that necessarily, but I could see that argument being made.
Yeah, I think that it's the, like, oh, you just got a bunch of injured teams and it was a fluke run. But I personally, I don't buy that. I think, I mean, we'll...
No, they were good.
We'll see what happens with the potential upcoming drama. And, you know, Ayton, I think, is the big question. Now they didn't get an extension. How bought in is he? But, like, I would put the Suns ahead of the Lakers still. Like, the Lakers still have the best odds to win the West. And I would put them like fourth right now, if not fifth. I mean, Jamal Murray is going to come back at some point, and the Nuggets look really good without him.
Right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
I don't know. All right, let's focus on two more East teams before we hit the top 75. One, we got to give our flowers to the New York Knicks. That the double OT win against the Celtics on opening night, and then they just beat the ever-living hell out of the Orlando Magic on Friday. And, like, I don't want to give them too much credit for that, because the Orlando Magic are as terrible as we expected. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA this year. But this is just what good teams do. Yeah. Like, if you are an actual good playoff caliber team, you need to beat the hell out of these bottom feeders, and you need to blow them out by 25 so you can get your guys some rest, especially coming off of a double overtime game. So I think this is just working out really well for the Knicks so far. Like, it's just a pretty well-balanced effort. Obi Toppin has looked better compared to what he was last year. Like, I mean, the
Fournier, which isn't difficult to look like considering the year that he had last year, but
right. But Fournier has been a big addition for them. You know, the Randall regression that I think a lot of people were concerned about, like, did he just have an outlier shooting year? Is he gonna, you know, if he falls back to earth, what's gonna happen there? That hasn't happened yet,
right?
And I mean, hell, Kemba hasn't really done that much for them. That's probably the most encouraging thing of all. It's not like they're relying on these outlier 40-point nights from Kemba that they can't bank on every night this year.
The Knicks could not have asked for a better start to the season. And I'm not just talking about the 2-0. I am talking about coming in and getting tested through a double OT game and then winning that one. Again, it's a crapshoot, but when you come out on top, you're going to have some momentum. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the second game of the series against a bad team, and like you said, blow them out. Like, that is, so far, they have done exactly what they needed to do under two very different and very difficult circumstances. And they've done so without, well, not without Kemba, but like you said, he hasn't really been all that productive is probably the best word. I mean, 10.5 points per game, 28 minutes. But they've relied on the bench. They've relied on the starters. They've gotten great, great looks from free. I mean, I even think they're leading the league in, both made and attempted threes. They're hitting 20.5 over the first two games and taking 49.5 per game. They're averaging almost 130 points over the first two. Granted, some of that was absolutely a result of having a 2-0 game, of course.
But they attempted more threes in the win over the Magic, and they hit more threes in the win over the Magic. They were 17.
Yeah, I was 45. Talking about the point total, though, but you're right.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, they were 17 of 45 from three in the double overtime game. They were 24 of 54 from three against the Magic. So they just decided to chuck it up and quickly hit four, Burks hit four, Derrick Rose hit four, Toppin hit two. Like, it was just a well-rounded beatdown.
They have six guys who are averaging over two made threes per game, with Fournier leading the charge at five per game. Like, again, this is not going to be sustainable. This is two games. But I just love what they're doing at this point. And it seems like that the bench, the more trust that they're going to get from Tibbs, the more hopefully we're going to see Julius Randle getting a chance to go on the bench a little bit more, because right now he's averaging 38 minutes. Again, the double OT game bumps up those minutes. But I would want moving forward to see some of their guys play a little bit less. And I think it'll happen because now they actually have depth.
Well, and they have just an incredibly soft start to the season. So it's Orlando on Sunday, then Philly on Tuesday. I cannot imagine Ben Simmons will be back by then.
Right.
They're at Chicago, at New Orleans. Can't imagine Zion's back by then. Versus Toronto, at Indiana. Who knows if Caris LeVert or TJ Warren are back by then. At Milwaukee versus Cleveland. At Philly, again, Ben Simmons question. Versus Milwaukee, at Charlotte. Indiana, Orlando, Houston. So, like,
the NBA really wants the Knicks to be good again.
Yeah, I mean, you could not ask. The Knicks need to come out of this stretch at least like 10-5 or whatever. I don't know exactly how many games it is, but they should be well over 500 by heading into Thanksgiving, or we're gonna have some issues.
Yeah,
but I think they will be. I mean, there's nothing I've seen so far that suggests they're not gonna be able to handle the crappy teams in that stretch. And like, now, maybe they'll lose both games to Milwaukee, but there isn't a single other game there that is not conceivably winnable.
Which is, yeah, good on the Knicks for getting some traction. I mean, we've been talking about this for 5 years. Knicks fans deserve better, and it seems like this year they have every reason to be optimistic. This is going to be a fun year for the Eastern Conference in overall, and we've talked about that before.
Yeah,
I really love this Eastern Conference. A lot of people are going to be happy on the timeline at the very least. And then we can let the Western Conference crowd just take the late tweets. That's fine.
Right, right. And the other team in the East that's caught my eye so far is the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes. So
the 1-point win over Indiana in the opener where LaMelo Ball was just, I mean, this kid already looks like an all-star. And then, you know, you beat a Cleveland team without Darius Garland, whatever. But, you know, Terry Rozier only played 23 minutes before he left with an ankle injury. Miles Bridges, 30 points on 13 of 24 shooting last night. Kelly Oubre, 25 points off the bench. Like, this Hornets team, I don't think they are a title contender this year, but I regret having them. I think I had them 11th in my league pass rankings, and I already think that was at least 5 or 6 spots too low.
I think I had them higher.
Right? Let me double check. I know Dan Favalli had them highest of any of us. He had them 4th, and he was probably the most correct of our group. Let's see. Yeah, you had them lowest. You had them 15th.
Dan was 4th. Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, Dan was 4th. I was 11th. Adam was 13th. You were 15th.
It wasn't one of those that I actually flipped over. Okay, well, damn it. I'll take the L on that one. I am excited to watch him.
Yeah. No, and this was, as we were saying in the League Pass rankings episode, like, we're just excited to watch a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
So it was hard to narrow the gap, but, they just look, I mean, they look so fun with LaMelo being as good as he is already.
Yeah, and it's going to be a thing where teams are going to move around on that list. Like the Cavaliers are definitely at the bottom right now.
Yeah. Well, I think we had most of us have them in the – we all had them in the 20s at least.
Mm.
You were correctly lowest on them at 27th. But
there we go.
Yeah, this the market – if you told me – I think that's why I put them high actually. I think I had heard rumblings of them wanting to do this three big thing, and I think it was more the disaster potential is why I wanted to see them a little bit. But now having seen it in practice, it's just too frustrating to watch, and I don't want to. I've seen 2 games of it. I don't want to see it anymore.
They are playing against the Hawks tonight.
The Hornets or the Cavs?
The Cavs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, I guess you're not going to get to see very much Trae Young tonight.
Wow. Pardon?
There's not going to be – Trae Young is going to play like 10 minutes per game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like, is he out? But no, he just won't need to play beyond the first quarter.
Right, yeah. It's going to be the D'Lon Wright show in the second half. Oof.
Solomon Hill is locked in for 17 minutes.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. That's what's most important. All right. Well, if we didn't hit your favorite team, we're sorry. That either means, you know, for like the Bucks, I'm not surprised that they got killed the other night when they were playing without half of their starting lineup. And I'm not surprised the Heat killed them without half of their starting lineup. Like we will do our best to touch on as many teams as possible, especially in the early season. But, you know, there's only so many games that we can watch each night.
Well, there is one thing we need to mention because Nikola Jokic made a pass last night.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which I still am trying to wrap my head around how that worked.
I think he is Neo and we're all in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Because that's the only exploit. It's split through 3 guys.
Yeah.
And who was that? Derek White who like threw his arms up?
Derek White, I think, got a haircut from that ball.
Yeah, he like threw his arms up. He's like, "Oh my god!" He just didn't even see it coming. And I think Michael Porter Jr. is the one who caught it, right?
Honestly, I don't remember. I just remember the pass. Like, it could very well have been Michael Porter Jr. I just remember everyone being completely perplexed at what just happened.
Well, the clip even ends before you see whether the shot goes in or not, which makes me think it doesn't. But like,
probably didn't. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It didn't end in an assist. It was such a highlight worthy pass that the outcome. Who cares?
It got me thinking, like right off the bat, of that movie Semi-Pro, where they do the alley-oop thing for the first time, and the stadium goes quiet. Like they don't really understand what just happened. Right. It's like, yep, that was what happened with that pass last night.
Foul, double foul. I mean, the Nuggets also they fit the bill of playing without Jamal Murray. I don't know that I would have seen a 2-0 start for them, but I mean, Jokic is if you thought his MVP was flukish last year.
He's averaging 30 and 14, man. Yeah, right now
he had 32, 16, 7 assists, 3 steals last night, shot 14 of 19, also hit 2 threes in a 6-point win. So,
and Mike Malone is already playing a playoff rotation.
Yeah,
10 guys have played for the Nuggets this year.
Yeah. Monte Morris also doing. Although Monte Morris 4 turnovers last night, that's usually his quota for the full season. So we'll
see. I was about to say we had something along the lines. I think we had a joke saying he would record his first turnover in December or something.
Right.
I mean, we need to talk to. Was it Dan or was it Adam who's like Adam. Super high on? Yeah, we need to have a conversation there because I think we may have jinxed it.
He's got to sell his stock on Monte Morris Island.
That's not great. Yeah. No, I think it's our fault. We shouldn't have brought it up.
That's true. All right. Let's wrap up quickly by talking about this NBA 75th anniversary team.
I guess.
Actually had 76 names on it because they had to split a tie. Who were some of the names that either stood out to you in terms of like guys who you think should have been on there or guys who you think did get included and should not have been?
So I think, that's so difficult because we have to take into account eras, right? I always think these catch-all lists are extremely difficult because you kind of have to gauge what did that player do in that specific era compared to what do the current players do in this era? Because obviously, if you go with anyone who played like before the 70s, for example, all of them would be played off the floor in today's league. I mean, maybe with the exception of Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. Like, it's just the game is so different, and there are so many guys that just wouldn't be able to see the floor. Like Dolph Schayes, would he ever have seen the court in today's league? I don't think so. So it's one of those things where it's so subjective. I can't really sit here and say there's a final solution and one that's proper. I do think it was a little bit weird to put Anthony Davis on there. That was very premature, I felt like. Anthony Davis is one of the 75 best players of all time.
That was the one that I just cannot wrap my brain around.
Right. Like, he might get there for sure. That's not, right. I mean, right. I'm not arguing that. I honestly, the odds are good that he'll make it. I just don't think it's fair doing it now. Like, then do it when the NBA turns 100. Or better yet, if players want the satisfaction, then have it every 5 years. It's fine.
80th for, whatever. 80th for
whatever, 80th, like 80, 90, 85. And then, and look, it's more fodder for the media, so it's fine. Dame was interesting. I don't necessarily disagree, but I also have a hard time. I think Dame has had a better career when it comes to like statistical accomplishment and longevity than Anthony Davis. But Davis has a ring. So I can't really figure out if you should kind of exclude both of them or. Yeah, I don't know. I think that was, it's one of those situations where you go, do I feel comfortable putting those two guys in at this stage? And I don't know if I do. especially when you leave out Dwight Howard, first and foremost.
Yes.
But also, Brian, and I'm willing to die on this hill on a matter that actually doesn't mean a whole lot to me when it comes to like rankings, but still this frustrates me because I saw someone say that this list isn't just about accomplishments, it's also what the individual player meant to the game of basketball. Like their footprint on on the game of basketball. In which case, leaving out Vince Carter is a crime. I'm sorry. Yeah. I understand that people may not want him on this list due to his lack of accomplishments. Like, that's fair. Like, he never won a ring, all that jazz. But the guy changed the game. Like, just off being a dunker and an athlete and a slasher, so many players, Brian, started playing basketball because of him. So many players came into the league emulating what he did. Like, Jason Richardson is a perfect example. Like, that that was a guy who came in and said, you know what, I am building my game off of Vince. And a lot of people say, well, does that matter that Jason Richardson? Yeah, it does. Because that's a guy who came in and was a highly influential NBA player for like 10 years. So, in effect, Vince had a ripple effect on a newer generation. Yeah. So I think that is one of those situations where you just go, yeah, you kind of need to find a way to put Vince in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, AD was the one who jumped out to me right away. And I think you phrased it well. Like, when we do a 100 by 100 list, if AD stays healthy and has a productive rest of his career, no question he's going to be on there.
Yeah.
Like, 8-time all-star already. He's got the ring, 4-time all NBA, 4-time all defensive, 3-time block champion, you know, like, and he's only 28, you know, like he clearly has the resume that would suggest he will be a part of this. But I just can't get there. Dwight Howard is just the one who, like, I wonder if the Dwight mare and all of that stuff, like, for that ensuing half decade has just so permanently poisoned the brain of everyone voting on these panels that, you know, you forget how dominant he was during his time in Orlando. But 3-time back-to-back-to-back defensive player of the year, 5-time rebounding champ, 2-time block champ, 8-time all NBA. And he now has a ring. Like, he was a role player, but he was on the same team as Anthony Davis that won that ring. So I cannot understand how, you know, you want to talk about impact on the game. Those Stan Van Gundy Magic teams with 4 out, one, you know, Dwight's the center and you've got Rashard Lewis and Hedo Turkoglu as your like nominal bigs, but they can actually stretch the floor. That helped usher in this era of basketball. Like, team was ahead of its time, and Dwight Howard was the force that kept it all together because he could be so singularly dominant on both ends of the floor. You know, like, as a rebounder, you know, guy averaged like 14 boards a game basically for a 5-year stretch, blocked at least 2 shots a game for 6 straight years. And like, he's not a unicorn big or anything like that. He's not going to hit a ton of threes. He, you know, posting up was not one of his specialties either. Like, he's just run, grab rebound, dunk, like, offensively limited, but he was still so dominant in that role that I just cannot fathom how he did not make this list.
His 5-year prime, he averaged 20.6 points per game, 2.5 blocks, 13.9 rebounds, and shot 59% from the field. Of course, statistically speaking, he's right up there. I mean, let's look at the totals. 19,000 plus points, 14,000 plus rebounds, 2,000 plus blocks. Like, you get in on such a list just by the numbers alone. Now, I think you raised something interesting in regards to the Dwight mayor.
Mm-hmm.
If that had an effect on voters, then why the hell is Karl Malone on that list?
It's a fair question.
If we're taking off-court things into the equation, Karl Malone has no business being on that list.
Yeah. No, it's a... like Dwight, 5 straight years, first time all NBA set or first team all NBA center.
Yeah.
4 straight years, first team all defensive. And the year prior, he was second team all defensive. Mm. And then the 2 years after his 5-year stretch, where he was all NBA, he was third team and second. So we are saying for a 5-year stretch, he was the best center in basketball.
Oh, he was. He was.
Right. Right. So, like, how is he not? I mean, the NBA is not that old.
All I can say is Shaq's plan worked.
Just denigrate him because he tried to steal the Superman moniker.
Let's be honest here. His opinion did hurt Dwight.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people picked up on Shaq and went, well, Shaq is right because he would know. He was one of the most dominant players of all time. What Shaq says is law. Mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal, if he had kept his frickin' mouth shut, I think Dwight Howard would have made the list. And I know he would have made the list because this had an effect. It absolutely did.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to me in the context of what's going on with Ben Simmons too, because I just wonder if there are some like drawn out trade sagas that are so poisonous that end up hurting someone's reputation long term. But then Anthony Davis, I mean, you know, what he did to the Pelicans to force his way out of there, I guess it didn't hurt him. So it's interesting, like, which guys do get tagged with that label and which guys don't.
Right.
I'm
also, Brian, I want to say that Shaq was actually part of the voting panel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it was a big voting panel, but yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that too, by the way, there are at least a handful of people there where I go, should that person be on there?
Like, right, really? Right. I know.
Like, did Bill Simmons just vote on Celtics players? Because I'm pretty sure he did.
I will say I'm pleasantly surprised that there was no pushback to Giannis being on that list.
Why would there be?
Because he's so young, but there should not be.
He's proved more than any current player who isn't named LeBron James or Stephen Curry, really.
Yeah.
Oh, Durant too. Sorry. Of course.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was trying to think who else. Because like Dwayne Wade, but I guess he's not a current player anymore.
No, he's not an active player. I mean, right. You could argue Kawhi, but then the statistical dominance from Giannis is better than Kawhi's. Yeah. Kawhi has greater team accomplishments, but still, I mean.
And Giannis, 2-time MVP.
Right. I mean, Giannis is just up there.
Yeah.
I am at that point where if someone put a gun to my head and told me to rank Giannis all time,
ooh,
like right now, ooh, I probably would go top 20 right off the bat.
Like if he retired tomorrow?
Yeah. Because of the influence.
Yeah.
Like just he's so influential when he plays. He's so dominating. I think I might have to. Top 25 at least, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, if it's similar like to AD, but he's significantly better than AD, but you know, the trajectory suggests like,
oh yeah. You know, top 10, top 5. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I think when everything is said and done, I'm going to have like Mike, LeBron, Tim, and Giannis in my top 4 probably.
Interesting. No Kareem.
No Kareem. And again, I do think eras matter a little bit more. I do think he got a lot of his you know production against a weaker 70s league, and I am factoring that in. But he would probably be my 5th when I really think about it.
Interesting.
But I wouldn't, and things can change. Like I could be wrong. Like you know, Giannis could suddenly go into a dunking funk for 10 years. I don't know, but I think I didn't really know for sure that I have Tim, Mike, and LeBron like in the top 3. I think Tim is so heavily underrated; it's crazy.
Interesting. Well, I was pleased to see no pushback on Giannis and Russell Westbrook too. I thought there would be more pushback about him. But you can bemoan his fit with the Lakers all you want and his questionable shot selection, his terrible turnovers, but MVP plus 4 years averaging a triple-double, there is no way he was being left off that list.
I mean, you notice that when I doesn't, when I don't complain about that, it's
right. It's fair. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like if you were okay with it, everyone needs to be okay with it.
Right. Exactly. No, but I mean, it's fair to question impact, but this, yeah. Like you, I think you said it perfectly, like the statistical dominance, like, so here's the thing. I think I've asked you this before, but I don't remember your answer. So remind me, like, am I wrong if I say just off of talent alone, we're not talking about leadership capabilities, we're not talking about team accomplishment, just off raw freaking talent, is Russell Westbrook possibly the most talented player in NBA history, just in terms of what he can do? Like, think about it. This is a point guard who over the past however many years, 5 years, 6 years, mm-hmm. have averaged 10-plus rebounds. And 10 plus assists for the past 7 years, it seems like.
I'd still like, put, I think LeBron, you just have to say, is the most talented.
Like the raw talent?
Yeah.
Okay. Like I can get behind that.
I think he could average a triple double if he wanted to, if he like put his mind to it. Or maybe not now when he's 37, but
right.
Like in his prime, LeBron could have. But that, I mean, I think, you know, he's a better shooter than Westbrook, he's a better defender than Westbrook.
A lot of that is also, when I say talent, I almost mean like raw talent. Like LeBron is a lot more refined, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, and you could say the same about Michael. Like Michael, obviously wildly, wildly talented, but what really did work for him was he had such an elite grasp of the fundamentals, right? Like the footwork, the shot mechanics, the him understanding time, place, and score. Like the IQ level was also super high. And I think for Mike and LeBron, the IQ works so much more to their advantage. I'm talking strictly talent. Like screw the IQ, screw everything around it. Like because LeBron and Mike both were driven by IQ, high level intelligence basketball. I don't think that counts for Russ. So, like, let's just go in with raw talent. Like, he, and I think he's up there. I think if nothing else, he's in that conversation with those two. Like, he's just a guy who never had the necessary components around him. And when I say that, I don't mean teammates. I mean the shots, like the proper shot selection, the basketball intelligence, the the oversight and overview of a game. Like, I don't know.
I think when when you combine Russ's talent with his motor, I think that's what really separates him even from some of the all-time greats. This dude just like does not know how to take a game off or take a possession off. You know, like LeBron, we see, especially as we get to the later half of his career, like getting 80-85% LeBron during the regular season, and then we get full-fledged LeBron in the playoffs. Yep. We get Russ. From game one, warts and all.
For better or worse.
Right, exactly.
No, but it's interesting. I honestly, these exercises, I'm a little bit fatigued by them because every summer, BR and ESPN and like everyone comes out with like, who are the best players in the NBA? Let's rank him, The Athletic too. And it's just, then it culminates this year with a top 75, and then all the medias also go, oh, let's also do our own. So I'm just a little bit list fatigued, I think. But no, it's an interesting conversation. It's something that the NBA loves because it gives so many fans an opportunity to discuss these things for like weeks on end.
Well, I'm convinced that's why Dwight Howard and AD got in the fight last night. Dwight just was like, bro, you know I deserve that spot over you.
Yeah. If we get an Athletic article about that, I would love that. Like that would be the most unnecessary drama ever, and I would be all in. Give it to me. Hook it into my veins.
I think we've had enough unnecessary drama in the NBA this week, but I'm sure only
in the East, Brian. We haven't had much in the West.
That's true. Well, just wait. Something tells me Phoenix, we might be getting some soon.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah, let's stay tuned on that one. I don't want to say anything.
We're not touching it until it happens.
All right, exactly.
But that is a good place for us to wrap up. So thank you all, as always, for listening in. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios to give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever else podcasts are found. on iTunes. Please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. Do you think that Greg Popovich decided to vote for anyone who just hadn't taken a 3 ever?
So Ben Simmons made the list?
Oh, yeah. That would have been... All right. Don't die, man.
Thank you.